And actually, the university requires that you sign something if I'm recording you and doing an interview. This first page just says, we will not document any information you don't want us to, and this is voluntary and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You're probably familiar with it. Maybe. And then I audio record. So maybe if you sign there.
That's the only place where I sign?
You can just initial here because I'm recording it. And then this is just asking if we make a report, can we use your name?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then.
And right here?
Yeah, so I would. And then you can just initial. And I think you need this.
Right, fill this
out. Sign again here. There. So we actually have a set list of questions so that we ask everyone the same questions about the trails. So which trails did your crew use?
Number 7.
Number 7?
Yeah.
Yep. And were there other crews on that trail as well?
Initially Jonathan Aiken and I were making the trail. And started out in January. With Carl Kippy. Just the three of us. We worked on it till we roughly made it to the lead edge.
Was that for seal hunting, or,
mm-hmm.
or already in?
We were trying to just a rough trail to the lead in January.
How many of these trails were seal trails before whaling?
Oh, there was also that number. It had to be number 2 and. Number 1, I believe.
Hmm.
Those two. We also went seal hunting in that area. This was in December with Carl Kippy.
And so during whaling, why was it that your crew then decided to whale here?
Was made the decision by an elder to, and our captain to, go out here in front of Barrow because they didn't want to go up north. From the previous years we've been up there, the ice was traveling near the edge. So most of the open water was in front of Barrow. And it was a lot flatter to the lead edge on trail number 8.
So there's been more open water down in this area?
Yeah.
Just off
the All top. The ice was traveling near here.
Yeah.
Going out There's a lot of water in this area.
And that's Jake Adams, the captain?
Yeah.
Is that your father?
Or my brother.
Oh, your brother. Yeah, I don't think I've never met.
Yeah, a lot of people ask, is he your dad? No, he's my older brother.
I've never seen him, so I don't know how old he looks. I don't think, maybe I've seen him, but I never met him properly.
Well, our trail is number 7, yeah.
Number 7.
Why did I keep saying number 8?
Well, no, you said 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I look again.
So then, what, is there any specific characteristics of
the trail
ice that you guys are looking at when you're choose exactly where to put the trail?
We're trying to go out to the furthest point that is sticking out because of the whales traveling from point to point. See, if they come out to this point, they'll travel, then hit another point out here somewhere, come back in right here. Maybe if they come to number 2, they'll do that. So we're trying to go in front of the point to intercept the whales. Most of the time the whales come in and go out. So if you're behind this point, you probably won't see much action in here.
So then what type of ice was, I know towards the lead edge was that real flat stretch of ice.
The flat young ice was formed early in January during that time and stayed there till that ice formed there and stayed right up until the first week of May, and that young ice floated out. Deteriorated from the bottom, then floated out to where the first ice age was in January. Like right now, we'll see almost the same thing probably going to happen. Because it's out so close right now, only maybe half a mile.
So you mean it's
the lead
happen,
edge is half a mile from here right now.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as last year. It's probably going to open up wide and then freeze like this again. Then who knows what's going to happen.
So these extensions like this usually happen around this time of year?
Yeah.
Or, sorry, this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're seeing that right now. This is staying here right now. Mm. It's about the similar from last year, that far.
Yeah.
Then further out to the south, it's further out this way, like it's kind of like this situation right now.
And what about the conditions in the kind of towards the middle of the trail?
The middle of the trail was much thicker. Stayed there since I would say maybe late October. Then ice came in and pushed it solidly, probably to the shore. And that's where we wanted to make the trail, because there was some large pans of ice, thick pans of ice there.
Was that easier to get through this with a snow machine?
To
navigate out to this edge?
2 over here?
Oh, I keep pointing to 8, but yeah, 7.
Yeah, it was very flat. Yeah. Right in here, it's big pans of older ice. Then we chopped that trail for like...
So in here there are pans of older ice?
Yeah, right there.
So they were older because they...
Yeah, larger pans of ice. But in the middle, it was had been a lot of ivu around there, layered up in big boulders.
And that's, is that...
That's like an anchor to the bottom, so we figured it would probably be safe there to spend the night.
So did you guys have a retreat camp or
safety camp? Yeah, we did right before you got to this big panorama, right?
Like, in somewhere in here?
Yeah. Right in there. Right in here.
Oh, right in there.
So it was so close to Barrow, right? Most of the crews just went to town.
Yeah.
But there was several camps that stayed there. Hmm.
So then how much work? What was the amount of work that you put in the trail that year? Similar to other years, or was it more or less building the trail?
It was the same amount as last couple of years. But we did work on there quite a bit of time. It took us at least 10 days to roughly go to the edge.
And then this ice broke out shortly after you guys got your well?
No, it broke out before we got our well. Eugene Brower landed a well there April 27. Then it had gotten windy and a lot of current from the bottom deteriorated most of that young ice. That young ice, it was a pretty long stretch. Had to be, what's that? It had to be at least 3 or 4 miles long.
I mean, you had deterioration.
Yeah,
along 3 or 4 miles.
Yeah, all of this came out. Most of it came off, anyways.
Yeah. And so then, you guys got a whale?
Yeah, we got a whale on May 7. But it was on the thicker ice.
On the same trail, though, right?
Yeah, on the same trail.
So that was back in here somewhere, then?
Yeah, right.
After it broke off.
Yeah, after it broke off, it left
right
in here somewhere. It was right on the trail.
Yeah.
It had to be, like, right here, I think.
And then, but when you guys were out here before it broke off, were you concerned about?
Yeah, we had concerns because we knew it was eventually going to melt. But we were thinking of staying out there only till like the 1st of May. Because we went out there on the 16th of April. We didn't have plans to stay out there for a long period of time. Because the size of the whales come in, they're already too large to handle by the 10th of May. Too many big whales coming by. And the smaller whales have already passed.
So you guys usually stop around May 10th?
We try to not to stay out there that late because of the size of the whales. But in the past, have you been helped? Have you been helped? Okay.
So, in general, like now, not talking about your trail specifically, but just the shore ice off of Barrow, would you consider, or how would you describe last year's ice conditions?
It was more dangerous from like trail number, had to be number 5, from 5 all the way to 10 because of the rotting ice from the bottom. And most of the crews moved to trail number 3, almost all the crews moved over to here because of the ice deteriorating from the bottom and ice breaking off further south. It was dangerous to be out on this thin ice because there was large holes in the ice. And even when the whale was landed here on May, I think it was May 4, Benita landed the whale. Several snow machines almost went in, almost got lost because the large holes in the ice.
That was down here off, like.
Yeah, it was in a it was on a trail. Trail is number 8. It was Woolly Mound number 8. Woolly Mound's trail. 9. Someone had made a trail out here.
Yeah. Somewhere in this area is where it was deteriorating.
Yeah, right in there. But that's how I heard a lot of stories from other whalers.
What about in terms of the amount of grounded anchoring ridges? Was last year?
A lot of it was like that on the brash harmonies. Mogalik, a lot of ice just rumbled together, but it was kind of slushy ice that froze. And a lot of different places, there was a lot of reaching in some places. But we didn't want to stay on that ice very long. We didn't plan to stay out there till the 10th or something.
So that ice that you just mentioned, is that that's a ridge that builds up from slushy ice?
There were several, couple, at least 3 or 4 places that we crossed that was just slushy ice that's not very stable when it melts and breaks off. There's no safe place to jump onto.
It's not grounded?
No. Once it breaks off, it'll disperse like dispersing. It'll disperse in all directions.
So was that on this side of your safe camp on the?
Yeah, it was on the turn towards the lead edge.
Yeah.
Around there. But it wasn't a safe platform. So what we're trying to look for is somewhere safe where you could have your whole camp on if it breaks off. We try to find that sort of place, at least 2 or 3 feet thick. Enough to hold a whale when you pull up a small whale. But once you get into that slushy ice, it's not a safe place to be in or to put your whale.
And so why is it that the ice up in here didn't get eroded from the currents like the ice to the south did?
It had froze there earlier. It stayed out there and got thicker, and it was much thicker ice, and most of it wasn't that slushy type of ice. The slushy ice from the bottom is kind of free there. You know, it's free down there. Then when that current picks up from the bottom, eats away. By the few days, the sun will go right through. And the ice up north, it was solid, thick. And when that current, the current just passed by on the bottom, it didn't eat away like it did over here. You know what I'm trying to explain?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. How do you write that? I can't pronounce it.
Mughalik.
Yeah, can you spell it?
Yeah.
I think I've seen it written before. Mughalik?
Mughalik.
Mughalik. And that, does that mean, when you use that word, does that mean near the ice edge, or could it be anywhere?
It's anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah.
It's sometimes where there's a shear zone, and most of from the ice that's traveling, the pack ice, it starts to rumble and it just makes shavings of, it's like that snow cone ice, but it's out, it goes way down, maybe 30 feet, then it just stays there, but it's free.
So it's usually
then when you break it, when it floats up, it just goes in all the directions.
So it's usually just from shearing.
Yeah, it's just from doing this number, not like this.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And that Mughalik, it can go out a little ways when that happens, when it opens up after it does that. It'll go out a little ways, maybe 30 feet. Then it freezes right there, little long chunks everywhere. And
I mean, those shavings drift around before they freeze.
Yeah, it drifts a little, then freeze there for like, I don't know, a month or two. Then later on in April and May, that stuff melts first. It's not safe.
Yeah.
So we try to avoid those areas.
Well, that's at least in my mind, one of the really useful things about these types of interviews, because that instrument that we pull, it's hard to understand what exactly we're measuring. Like, it doesn't tell you what type of ice it is, it just tells you how thick it is.
Okay.
So it's useful to know what type of ice you're pulling that over top of. And so then the currents that eroded the ice this year, was there a particular direction in which they were traveling? Or?
A lot of the warm current came this way first.
So from the west?
Yeah, really fast. And then, you know, when it came out back this way, the wind shifted, everything came out.
So the warm currents came in from the west, south, and then an offshore wind blew it out after it weakened it?
Yeah, after the current kind of stopped, when the wind shifted, everything came out, most of everything. So we out there scratching our heads, wondering where we're going to whale.
But then you got one.
Yeah, we eventually got lucky.
So the last question. Well, maybe the
whales were coming up behind us.
Behind you?
Yeah, they were coming up behind our camp.
Oh, underneath the ice?
Yeah, oh. They're from those pockets of...
Oh, really? You could see them where the ice had...
We could hear the whales, and we eventually saw one whale, and...
We so tried it was to breaking the ice a little bit, or no, it was just completely open?
It was open, you know. There's a whale behind us. We tried to go get it. We were too late.
Could you get it?
Yeah.
How'd you find it if it...
We had a float.
Oh.
Or so, try to kill it instantly.
Yeah. So people have done that before?
Yeah.
And the whale?
Many times.
Many times. I never heard of that. Guess that...
A lot of stories from my uncles and older people.
Yeah. So, I'll let you get going. But
it's okay.
I want to ask, is this helpful, these trail maps?
Yeah, a lot of whaling captains and a lot of other people are interested in that already.
Do you think there's anything we could do differently to make it more useful?
Let's see. I don't know. It's already very useful the way it is right now. But maybe if there was actual GPS numbers right from the very start.
Yeah, I think there was on some of them.
Yeah.
I think I took them off on this one just so we could see the ice conditions better. But yeah, so GPS coordinates at the start.
At the start, yeah.
Yeah, I'll make sure that that's on all the maps that come out this year. And I'll be up here actually more this year, I think.
Oh, maybe right.
In the March trip.
You could spend the night at our camp.
Well, if you guys need any help building trail, I'd be happy to help.
Everybody always needs help.
Yeah.
When you go visit there, some people ask you to stay on their trail and finish it and stay there. But right now, the way it looks, if it's like this, if it doesn't freeze anymore, the trail is, we might have to start a trail over in here. By Narl.
Off of Narl.
If not, we'll go check down this area.
Is it just because that if the ice isn't far enough out, the whales will just be too far out?
Yeah, but last year we were real close to town and they came in. So we just have to wait till it opens up in March and give us an idea of where we're going to start building a trail. But we're almost getting some ideas straight out from Prairieville right now.
But there's some big ridges, it looks like, out there.
What's that?
It seems to me, from looking at the ice now and from the radar that we have, that those ridges out here have been here a while.
Yeah. There's some anchors out there already.
Yeah.
So we might out, maybe in front of the hangar we might be looking. But it's too early to see now. Maybe in February we'll go seal hunting and scout around.
Yeah.
But it's good to start early.
Yeah.
We'll try to go out early. Try to intercept the smaller whales. But every year is different. We never know how it's going to be till it's the week before the whales go.
I hope to be up here.
Yeah, we'll
see some of that going on.
Yeah.
Okay, I learned a lot more than sitting in my office.
Yeah, it's a lot of learning out there. When right now, it's really hard to tell what it's going to do next. We might have a big, massive east wind and blow everything out. Or we might get a big, massive west wind and jumble everything up.
The wind's supposed to come tonight, huh?
Yeah.
That's what somebody said. Well, thanks, Billy.
Oh, no problem.
And actually, we are paying people $50 for these interviews, so.
All right.
Oh, actually, yeah. Can you put your address where you want that?
Yep.